morning. If you're visiting with us, we're happy to have you worshiping with us. What a beautiful day, right? A couple things I wanted to say. Next week's a great opportunity to mix it up with the community. We're going to, like Rick was saying, we're going to invite kind of all our emergency workers, fire departments, all included in that, police, and all that. So we're going to do ice cream on the lawn, so you can have ice cream breakfast. So I'll let you break that rule. So if you want to have no ice cream anymore, we're going to let you have ice cream. When we give you flowers, then we give you ice cream. So, there you go. We'll take requests for next year, and we'll change that. Ice cream after the service next week, we will be coming to change that. Also, I just want to mention, we are going to take a little break from our series in the Great Mysteries. We'll do a Father's Day message, and then we'll come back to the final message right after that. So, right now, just a little bit of review, just in case you haven't been coming to church and you don't know what's going on. We started a series in the Great Commission about 3 weeks ago. And so I put some bullet points up here. We started out in Matthew 28. We're talking about Jesus' last words to the disciples that happened Sunday right before Ascension Day. And so we wanted to look at his words there and again the commander of the go and make disciples. And so we talked about what does it mean to make disciples. It starts first with us being a disciple. You can't teach and pass on teachings of Christ if we ourselves are not treading in that truth. So, again, so to make disciples, the point was to be a disciple. And in that, it kind of led to the next week in Colossians 4, 1 Peter 3, where we talked about this two-pronged approach to evangelism, right? To go make disciples. Some are called to do it boldly, and these are people who are gifted in evangelism. But there is another prong that Paul was talking about in Colossians, that most people are called to live questionable lives. Well, if you are a disciple of Christ and you're living contrary to the world and following Christ's teachings, you are going to invite questions from people because you are going to look very different than this world. And so we've been kind of camping out on that second prong because I think that's where most of us live. When we come to this idea of fulfilling the Great Commission and making disciples, it's about living differently in such a way that we reflect Christ in us to the world. And in that, the whole question will come. Why do you live like that? Why do you do those things? And there we can start to have conversations about our Savior. And then last week we talked about how the table can be a surprising place to make Jesus known. And a lot of guys who came last week didn't think we were going to be talking about food as a huge evangelism tool in our toolbox to make Christ known. But we did it. And we talked about how the table can be a surprising place to And so this morning, we're going to get into our next part of scripture here. And I'm going to address the idea of what do we do? Because I think this is one of the fears when we talk about making Jesus known to this world, living boldly for Christ. The fear of what about those questions that come our way? Not the ones that are the ones that come out of the curiosity because we're living a different life in contrast to the world. But what about those hard questions? What about those things that I'm just, oh man, I don't know if I have the answer to that. And so I want to kind of try to ease that tension more as we get into the scripture here. And I'll just ask this. How many of you guys have been asked a question that has made you uncomfortable and didn't know the answer to? Yeah. Okay. My whole school career, I did everything I could to avoid being become my teacher. You know? I mean, I'm telling you, I well thought out. Learning to sit in the classroom, answering the questions that are the layup ones, be first, you know, so that you look like you're the one that's always answering questions, but you don't really want to answer the real questions because you're afraid of what might be asked and you don't know the answer. I mean, there's strategy in this, and so I live by that, you know. I've been on the other side of this side where, as a youth pastor, you know, we have Q&A time around the scriptures. I sat there patiently waiting for answers to come out from teens. And I could see them squirming sometimes. And the frustration they probably felt like, I think the answer is this, but I don't know. And so, you know, I've been on this side. I remember one team that I worked with for years, it was driving me crazy because he'd give an answer, but it was always kind of like in a question format. Not, and it wouldn't be so obvious to say, I think it's this. You would just say it in a way And I'd be like, are you giving me an answer or are you asking me a question? I don't understand. So today, like I said, I want to look at a passage of scripture with you that I believe can offer us some help in some of these questions that have come our way. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to open to Romans 1. And I'm going to ask you to stand here and read the scripture with us. And for God's word and simple mind. And we'll be open to a word of prayer. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time that we can be in your house to worship you. That's what we're here. We're here to worship and learn from you, to learn from your scriptures. God, I pray, Lord, that you're here for us. Clearly, pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just reveal to us a fresh truth. Lord. Give us fresh eyes to see your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to be reading six verses here at the beginning of Romans chapter 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. So a couple of weeks ago, when I was talking from the Colossians first Peter passage, I mentioned that the biblical model of evangelism involves this dual action of gifted evangelism and a call to practice bold proclamation. And then the second prompt of that was that every believers, the everyday believers who are to live such surprising lives, they invite questions from their faith. But the truth is, this only works, right, if we are able to answer their questions. So again, just feeling that tension again. Great. You're putting me in a difficult position. What if I don't know the answer? So I think this passage here gives us some very practical things for us to kind of just apply and think through today. And the first thing I want to kind of bring to your thought process here, as you face these questions, making Jesus known is simply telling people about Jesus. It's simply telling them about Jesus. I'm sure you guys all heard the joke from the pastor who did the children's message, and he brought the kids up, and he was trying to ask them a question about the creatures that live in the trees, and he said, they eat nuts, and he was waiting for their answer, and there was a long pause, and no response, and he goes on to say, they're gray, and no response from the children. They have long bushy tails, and no response from the children, and he started to feel like, man, I'm failing here. And the children, and he says they shatter, and flip its tail, and they get all excited, long pause, no answer, and finally one little boy raises his hand, and he says, Pastor, it sure sounds like you're describing a chipmunk. But the answer is down to Jesus. God be Jesus. As funny as that is, it's so true. It's God be Jesus. The church has often told Christians that they need to preach the gospel, right? And when they get the opportunity to do that. So what does that exactly mean, to preach the gospel? So look again at Romans 1 here, right? Paul kind of brings it out here. I'm going to read the first verse. It's not too long on the slide here. But Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel, right? Paul says, I'm set apart, right, for the gospel. And then he goes on to explain what the gospel is, right? Listen as he continues. The gospel, he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to the earthly life was the descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness appointed the Son of God in power, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, in him we receive grace. So according to this passage, the gospel is the story of Jesus, right? His messianic credentials, his physical descent from David, his vindication and validation by the Spirit of God, his resurrection from the dead. In fact, every time the Apostle Paul explains his use of terms of the gospel, he does so by telling the life of Jesus. The answer is Jesus. If you recall Paul's lengthy sermon at 13, if you did, I encourage you to read that sometime this week, starting verse 16, where he's literally preaching the gospel. His focus is on the events of Jesus' life, his royal birth, his miracle teaching, sacrificial death, and resurrection. Right? So even when he doesn't have much space for a lengthy retelling of Jesus' story, he summarizes that story in Romans 1. And so we get to this idea here. He's claimed as a promised Messiah, right? This is the way Paul describes what the gospel is. His embodiment of the presence of God's kingdom, his invitation to enter the kingdom through him, his atonement for our sins and the sins of the world, and his status as a risen Savior and Lord. Last week, if you were here, we were talking about that table and how it would be a surprise to place in the cardinal. And I told you I had sat for a year with this guy named David. He was a self-proclaimed atheist. And all we did was sit and I tried to answer his questions the best I can. There it comes to questions, right? And I got to tell you, I didn't have all the answers all the time. And I would patiently, I sat with him, we talked, and we exchanged ideas and things like that. I told you, at the end of that year, he gave his life to the Lord. From time sitting at the table. But if you were to talk to my friend David, I'm hoping to come for a visit in his life. He would tell you, the thing that made the biggest difference to him was looking at the life of Jesus. For him, for all the things that seemed like he wasn't sure about from the Old Testament, things of that nature, the thing that he could cling onto and latch onto was Jesus. He could look at Jesus historically, you know, not just from the scriptures, from the extra biblical text, things like that. And Jesus' life was verifiable. For him, that was all the difference in the world. He came down to Jesus. And as that following years of time went on, as he grew in his faith, you know, we would continue to have conversations. Because I wanted to make sure that the discipleship didn't just end in answering his questions and leading his faith. That it would continue on. And he would tell you, Paul, anytime I felt confused, anytime I felt a little off, back to Jesus. How beautiful that. I just look back to Jesus. He made it so simple. And as he shared his faith, he was a veterinarian out of practice. I mean, he talked about it out of fire. Like he was just, meeting with people with their pets and they were, their pets were going through all the things or, the end of life. I mean, he would just tell them about Jesus. Now, Jesus was so important to his life and how he comforted them. In all these different ways. And I just love that, that he always kept it about Jesus. If you ever felt unsure or whatever, I just think back to Jesus. Jesus was his focus, his foundation, he's everything to do. And he continues to be everything to do. And so, as we look at this, answering Jesus' question, it's really about pointing them to Jesus. Right? The second thing I want to kind of give you a clue here, we talked about maybe Jesus knowing and as his questions come, is this idea that maybe Jesus knowing is also about explaining the why. So let me explain this a little bit. If you look past here at verse 5, right, Paul gives the why, right? Why does he follow? He says, through whom we have received grace, right? And apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith, the sake of his name among all the nations. So the goal is to make Christ known among all the nations. Why do they do it? It's because of the grace that he has received. When I think back on my own life, when I think about just why I follow Jesus, it was this coming together, a collision of realizing my sin and God's grace. And the love that was there for me within my sin. And the compassion that Jesus had for me. There's this grace that motivated me. And, over the years, I've done a lot of mission trips we've seen over the last couple years. I've been to the Netherlands, Canada. We've done years of Appalachian Trail work in West Virginia. Actually, we're the whole mining community that is on the platform of this building. We've worked in Georgia, low-income housing. We've done hurricane care relief. And the last 5 years, we've spent building churches in West Virginia. And the conversations always come up about why do we do what we do? Why is that we do? And I've had students who have just come who maybe not have known the Lord very long, and things like that. And we have this discussion about why we're there, why we're doing what we're doing. And the simple answer is because we're trying to honor the Lord. The Lord has set an example for us to follow, to care for others, to love on others. And it's out through His grace for us, His love for us, that we do the things we do. And that is what makes our church different than, say, any other organization. So, and I'm not picking on anybody, but Habitat for Humanity. You can take a Habitat for Humanity and build housing. That's great. And you probably won't feel pretty good about what you're doing. But that's not what mission is about. That makes them know through our actions. So we do it because we're commanded to do it, and we do it as a response to God's love to us in our lives. And so we continue to have these conversations. If people were to ask me on those trips, why are we here? We're here because the Lord has been so good to me. And I just want to show what His kindness and love looks like. That's why I do it. It's because of His grace, I now choose to live this way. So when I read scriptures like John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. There is an example that Christ is leaving for us to follow. But again, understanding the why is so important, right? It's not just blind obedience. Sometimes it is, but the Lord goes further than that. He shows us, He demonstrates. And so leaving that example for us to follow. Part of, answering these questions is explaining why behind what we do. Right? When I read Philippians 2, I love this passage. It says, therefore, if any of you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, right? If any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, and make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count the quality of God things he left, and he himself, the taking form of servants, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming inconvenient to the point of death, being done on the cross. There's a lot in there. But what we should see is Christ leading by example for his followers. So the first thing, as questions come, Jesus is the answer. Second thing is being able to explain why you follow and why you do what you do. Because there's grace that has been shown to you. Because of the grace. And finally, let me just say this. Making Jesus known is not about having all the answers. So for everyone right now who's thinking, what about that question that I don't have an answer to? It's okay. Here, let me give you a proper response to a question you have. You can tell that person, you know what, that is a great question. Give me a moment for some time to go look into it. Or better yet, say, give me a moment and let's go look into this question. It's okay not to have all the answers. But what the one answer you need to know and have is you. As a basic Christ follower, we need to be able to point people, redirect people to that relationship. Because that relationship changes everything. Prior to knowing Jesus, if I just read the Bible, things like that, there's a lot of things that can be hard to understand outside of the context of having a relationship. And so that relationship is so important. If you notice today in our passage, there is nowhere, and if you look in your Bible, there's nowhere in Paul's gospel lessons that he does anything but point to Jesus and describe who he was and what his purpose is. Think about that. Paul didn't run around trying to answer all the questions. But one thing that he did want to clarify, one thing that he wanted to make clear as a Christ follower, was who Jesus was. What he came to do, what his purpose was, and what he accomplished. And he made that clear to people. It's okay to say that you don't know the answer, but what you do is what. That's a lot of what I did with my friend Dave over that year. There were times when he had great questions. And I didn't have all the answers. Sometimes I just had to redirect them to a resource or to another person. And that's one of the best things that you can do as a Christ follower, is get people in the pathway or with somebody who can answer that question. The worst thing you can do is try to answer it when you don't understand it or know for your answer. The best thing you can do is connect people to Jesus and to others you can help. That several years ago, I met this girl, Julia. Her younger sister started coming to our youth group, and we would have these missionary dinners in the fall, and we invited her younger sister and mom, and you know, we just were trying to be friendly and connect them to church. And so Grace's mom came, and Grace's older sister Julia came, and she said, "Watch out." Grace was telling me, she said, "Watch out for my sister Julia. She's totally antagonistic to Christianity. She just thinks it's made up, it's fake, and all these different things." And I said, "Okay." And you never know how you're going to engage with somebody at some point. But oddly enough, God put Julia and I together, who were in the kitchen and serving. And Julia started actually asking me some questions about faith. And I didn't have all the answers, but you know, what I could tell her was my story and you know, what God had done in my life and things of that nature. And long story short, Julia gave me life. She just got married last week to a Christian man, and she was on fire. And you never know how your story and how pointing to connecting somebody to Jesus can change their life. That's why I love this passage here, and I'm going to share this passage. It's one of my favorites. I don't know if I would call it life first, but Psalm 41 to 3, great passage for me to go through. I relate to this a lot because this is exactly how I feel. Or what God did for me in my life. Because I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me in the spirit of his fire. He drew me out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry bog. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God, that many will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord. God has given each person here a testimony. Story to be shared. And as a result of the Holy Spirit, we share this story that God has given each one of us. Many will put their faith and trust in the Lord. God has called us to talk about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Explain why you follow him, why you love him. And in doing so, Scripture tells us that people will come with their faith with that sense. So this morning, I close with this question here. Why do you follow? Can you explain it to me? I think this is really important for us to get in touch with. It was one of the complaints and charges against one of the churches in Revelation. You have forgotten your first love. You're doing all these things in that story, and you've forgotten the first love. Do you remember why you are following Jesus? That's going to be so key to your witness to making this one of your story. Remember this. Sadly, the easiest way to be Jesus. Dad, thank you for this morning. And again, Lord, We're sorry that we complicate this. The gospel is simply pointing people to you. And you're making connections. Lord, help us not to be afraid of that. Help us not to be afraid of the questions that might come. Help us to keep it simple in our minds and our hearts. It's always been about you. Help us to keep it about you. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your great love. And I pray, Lord, that as we sit here in this church here this morning, that we would remember the grace shown to each one of us. And just as a response to that love, may we make you known to this world. Who you are.